Well, good morning. I'd like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about sacrifice. Sacrifice, by the definition that's in the dictionary, can be a verb, can be an action, can also be a noun, can be an object, something that's tangible even. It means sacrifice, as far as the action means to destroy, surrender, or suffer to be lost for the sake of something, as to sacrifice the peace of the church for a little vain curiosity. We should never sacrifice health to pleasure, nor integrity to fame. That's something I got from the dictionary. So sacrifice is an action, but it can also be a tangible thing. It's a thing offered to God. Or anything that's destroyed. I'd like for us to not spend a whole lot of time. Don't intend to, nor am I prepared to talk to you about the details of the Old Testament sacrifices, but we know that the people of God, the Israelites, through the old law, was commanded to make sacrifices for their transgressions and to appease God in that way. That was their way of being at least partially reconciled to the Lord for their misnomers, for their sinful acts. And they weren't blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit on an individual basis like we are. They were only blessed with the Holy Spirit's presence in the tabernacle and then in the temple after the temple was built. And today we have, we live in the New Testament dispensation where, you remember, Jesus taught the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. The whole plan of salvation and the New Testament gospel message is that the Holy Spirit is accessible to us on an individual basis, and we're not just to come to worship the Lord on a weekly basis, you know, just on Sunday, but our lives should be a worship to the Lord. We ought to live with integrity day in, day out. People ought to recognize whether they meet us at the gas station or in our place of work, or they ought to recognize that we are living by a different code than just the code of self. That we are living our life in a manner to be pleasing to the Lord. And I believe God can and will bless us for that and in that. Anytime in my mind that the word sacrifice is used, it seems like that one thing, whatever that thing is forfeited to gain some other thing. That's the basic idea that's behind the sacrifice. This one thing that we sacrifice, it could be a physical life. The Old Testament sacrifices, as a general rule, they were blood sacrifices. They were required to offer an animal for the sins. And yesterday, Rodney and I was working there at my house and on his car, and my calves came in to drink at the water tank under the shed there that I have for them. And this one calf, I'm telling you, would have made a good sacrifice in the Old Testament. I haven't found a fault in him. From the time he was born, he was He got to this world bigger than I think all the rest of them were. His shape, his stature, his coloring, his features, his manner. He's a beautiful animal. If you know what a good-looking cow looks like or a good-looking steer, this is it. I mean, he looks nice. Today's his last day at my house. Tomorrow he's going to belong to somebody else. But if I lived in the Old Testament, they were to offer something that had a lot of value without a blemish. And this animal that I have would be one of those that someone potentially would offer for their sins. They would forfeit it because of the transgressions that the law told them that they had committed. And they would sacrifice that. They would forfeit that. So it could be, a sacrifice could be a physical life. A turtle dove, a lamb, a bullock. Sometimes it was grain. Sometimes sacrifices can be our money. When we help somebody that's in need, sometimes our sacrifices can be our time. The time we spend is a big place, a big opportunity for us in our world today to sacrifice some of our time for the cause of God. Sometimes health is sacrificed for good things, and usually health is sacrificed for not so good of things. And sometimes pleasure is sacrificed. The things that we would like to do for fun many times can be sacrificed. Sometimes sleep is sacrificed. Those of you that have small children and anticipate small children, if you haven't been there yet, you'll be there. You're going to sacrifice some sleep. There's going to be those times you have to get up in the middle of the night because somebody's unhappy, because they need some attention, and you're sacrificing your sleep and your rest, and you might have to kind of function with some kind of sleep depravity the next day because that little one was calling during the night. So you're going to have to, there's times to sacrifice sleep. Sometimes sacrifice strength. There's people that sacrifice virtue. There's people that sacrifice innocence and youth. And people have sacrificed their marriage for something that they wanted. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and like to begin reading at the first verse, and would like to read down a ways here. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." The law said, having a shadow of good things to come. A shadow. I'd like to ask us, maybe this morning, which would you rather have, the real thing or the shadow of the real thing? You know, there's times that maybe shadows can be kind of eerie, but the shadow here was the shadow of something that was being forecast, and all that they had in the Old Testament was the shadow, if you can get this picture in your mind, of the illumination of God's presence being shown in between mankind and God was Christ. Still the same way today. Between God and us is Christ. But in the Old Testament, if you can think of God being up far above in the heavens, not just this literal heaven, but the eternal heaven, and between God and mankind being Christ, and Christ not really being with mankind, but the shadow of him being cast. We know that if there was a light behind me and the room was dark, that my shadow would be cast out into this room. I wouldn't be out there, but that my shadow would be. So the Old Testament was the shadow of Christ was on them. And the shadow was that to be reconciled with God, they had to offer sacrifices. But it said here in Hebrews chapter 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, the good thing that was to come was Jesus came and dwelt among mankind. We can read that in St. John, the first chapter. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down to live and to breathe and to walk the same path that men walked on this earth, and to teach them how to live a way that was acceptable before God and to be an example to us. So that shadow became reality, and he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us, and that's why today I believe, just as Stephen saw him alive and well and standing at the right hand of the Father, in with faith's eyes, we can see Christ today alive and well. And he can be there for us. And we can have a relationship with Christ because he died and paid the ultimate price for sin. We can have a relationship with God today. And it's something, it said here, it was a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. It wasn't the actual thing. And it said here that those sacrifices which they offered year by year didn't do the complete work, but Jesus did. That's why we don't offer the blood of bulls and goats today. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. If it would have been effective like the blood of Christ, then they wouldn't have had to offer them year by year, again and again and again. There is a place of victory that we can have by applying the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, to our hearts and our lives. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Oh yeah, I got to do it again. Oh yeah, I've got to sacrifice that animal that would bring the best price, that would be the most ideal to keep for genetics or whatever purpose would have made them the most valuable. I'm sacrificing it because I can't keep from hating that fellow that lives next door. And I can't hardly keep from being dishonest. And I all of those things that Christ came to give us victory over, the Old Testament struggled over and over and over again. And it says here, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. When he cometh into the world, Jesus came into the world. Did he come into the world to just teach us how to do sacrifices better? No. He came and gave himself where we could live victorious. That's what he came for. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins, thou hast had no pleasure, not really a lot of profit, not really gave you the satisfaction that you wanted. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That's what Jesus came for, is to do the will of the Father. He said that to us while he was here. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. God took away the plan of sacrificing bulls and goats and turtle doves and oil and all of the other things that men offered and sacrificed, he took that away and introduced something that was better than that. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. That's a wonderful little phrase, isn't it? Once for all. Jesus came not only to supplant the first plan, but he came to do it not just for his generation, but for my generation. For your generation. He did it for all of us personally. And I want us to think about today, what does sacrifice mean? And what are some of the sacrifices? I've been thinking about this week. What is the sacrifices that I've made in my life? What sacrifices do you make? Maybe you ought to ask, do you make sacrifices? Because I'm going to tell you, if we want to achieve and to reach a place that's higher than where we're at or where we've been, it's going to take some sacrifice. Yes. We know that if we got on the top of this roof and poured some water out on it, that it's going to run off the edges. And to get the water up on the roof, we're going to have to lug it up there somehow, pipe it up there or something. You know, we're going to sacrifice our strength. We're going to sacrifice some time. We're going to sacrifice some energy. If we don't have enough food intake, we're not going to have the energy. Energy is not something that just miraculously appears. If you eat food that doesn't provide us energy, I'm going to tell you all a little secret. I don't know how people that eat fish all the time survive. Because if you feed me fish, after about 2 days, I start feeling like I'm dragging. My wife tried this recently, and it's just like, I can't hardly go. I got to have some beef, all right? Just saying. I got to have something that gives me some energy. There's not much energy in fish. No wonder people lose weight when they eat fish. It's going to take the right kind of food to have energy. You're going to have to sacrifice some of that energy. You're going to have to sacrifice some of your strength. You're going to have to sacrifice your time. You want to haul 100 gallons of water up on top of the roof. You know what happens when we begin to pour out of ourselves and we don't sacrifice to put back in? We all run down off the edge of the roof. Every one of us does. If I don't put some time and effort into maintaining my physical strength and my physical and mental stamina and abilities, if I don't invest in that, I'm going to be depleted. All of us are. So to accomplish anything, we all make some sacrifices. Individually, if we had no one else that was in our life, you would still make some sacrifices. Unless everybody was sacrificing for you. I heard a story about a man. I don't want to mean to be too gross, but this man had a medical emergency, and somebody that I knew of was involved in doing that kind of thing. He worked as a volunteer firefighter and kind of a rescue type person, and he got a lot of, I guess, adrenaline rushes out of that. But they went to try to help this person, get him to the hospital. And when they went there, he was too big to get out the door. And he was too big to fit in an ambulance. And he had been living on a mattress in the middle of the floor. And he hadn't been up for a long time. Now, y'all can fill in all of the blanks. And to get him to the hospital, they took the side of the wall out and they loaded him on his mattress on the back of a farm truck flatbed. I'm talking about somebody that weighed had a lot of weight, really, really big. Now, I don't think this man had made many sacrifices, but a lot of people had made sacrifices. I asked the man, I said, how does somebody get that big? You know, if you can't get up and get to the table, you're going to lose some weight. I mean, just a matter of time, right? But somebody made sacrifices and carried things to him back and forth. That's the only way you keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Otherwise, you would have got smaller. Somebody else made. So, if you have become disabled because someone else is making sacrifices, maybe you ought to start making some sacrifices. I'm just talking about natural things. We make sacrifices as individuals to maintain strength, to maintain mental integrity, to maintain whatever it is. We make some sacrifices. When we enter into a marriage relationship, we make some sacrifices. I could go around the room today to each one of you that are married, and all of us that are adults here, I believe, are married today. I could go around and say, what kind of sacrifices you make because you're married to Sheila or because you're married to Rodney or whatever it was. And I'm telling you that you could come up with something. And it's not necessarily derogatory. You would come up with something. You ask my wife, do you make any sacrifices because you're married to that guy? And she would say yes. I'd expect her to say yes. You ask me, I'm going to say yes, I make some sacrifices. And why do I make those sacrifices? It's because we want something out of it. We want something out of that marriage relationship. I'm going to tell you, if you're in a marriage relationship and you don't make sacrifices, your marriage is going to suffer. You're going to sacrifice your marriage for something else. You're going to sacrifice the benefits that comes from a marriage because the Scripture teaches that the two will become one. And there is something much more powerful about the unity of a marriage and the impact it has on the world. And today, I'm going to tell you, a solid marriage is very impactful in our world today. Because our world today has completely lost the concept of what it means to have a good marriage. A marriage doesn't mean today what it did 20 years ago, and it surely doesn't mean what it meant 50 years ago. But if you have a marriage that's intact and you're both making sacrifices for the benefit of the marriage, I'm going to tell you, people pay attention to that in our world today. I made some comment at my place of work recently to the folks that work up on the front side, and I said, you know, we've been married 37 years. And they thought that was incredible. Well, it used to be a lot more common than it is today. But I'm thankful for the years that we have had together, but we've both made sacrifices. Some of them we made maybe less happily than others, but we've both made sacrifices to keep it intact. You're going to make sacrifices if you work for somebody else. If you're not self-employed, you're going to make sacrifices if you're self-employed. There's going to be times that you get up and do a lot of gathering up because there's nobody else to do it. You got to do it. You're going to make sacrifices if you work someplace because somebody else is going to tell you what to do and you don't think it's a very good idea. But the sacrifice is you cooperate. You're going to make sacrifices for these little children that turn into big children. You know, I'm thankful for the sacrifices that I made for my children when they were small, because now they bring their children to see me. And that's where some of the benefits are. The sacrifices. You know, I'll never be the same since I've had children. And I'll never quit having that realization that there's some level of sacrifice that I ought to make for them. That's beyond my marriage. More sacrifices, you see. There's going to be sacrifices that we make for the congregation to be healthy. Sometimes it's our time, just time for attendance. Sometimes it's time because there's work that needs to be done. We're going to have to sacrifice some of our money. Somebody's got to pay for the lights and the water. Well, think of the situation we had a few years ago now where one of the neighbor families were turning the hydrant on and their children was playing in the water and leaving a lake out here in the yard here at the chapel. And I don't know what they thought. I guess they thought maybe water was free to churches. I don't know. I don't think they realized that we had a water bill to pay. But somebody has to make the sacrifice to see that the water bill is paid. Somebody has to make the sacrifices to keep the grass mowed. I've never came here when the grass had, you know, was starting to turn into brush into trees around. It will, though, if somebody didn't mow the grass. I mean, we'd have sprouts growing up all over. It's what would happen. I think about all of these sacrifices that we make for good causes. And you're going to make them. I make them. We all make them. And then I'd like for us, for the sake of understanding this morning, we're talking about sacrifice. I would like for us to think today about the sacrifices that we can make for the wrong cause. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Proverbs. We'd like to look at Proverbs chapter 23. Invite you to consider what the writer said here in Proverbs chapter 23. He says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." We ought to think about what's going on around us all the time, but you think about what's before you. "And put a knife," it says, "to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." If you're smacking and slurping and gulping something down, you stop and think about what you're doing. "Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful men, deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he will plead their cause. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. And that's where I want to end. But I want to talk about this passage of Scripture. I believe that this passage of Scripture is talking about the things that we can sacrifice that are good. Maybe you sacrificed your health and your strength, your energy, your ambition, your potential, because you wanted to have integrity with God. Maybe you sacrificed the potential of advancement in the corporate world because you wanted to maintain your integrity. Maybe because you wanted to be able to be in a congregation. Maybe you sacrificed the potential of higher education because you wanted to have your soul right with the Lord. Maybe you sacrificed your time and energy and all of that for your marriage, for your children, for your integrity. You put things in the right perspective. And now maybe you're in a place where people do look up to you and they say, oh wow, you've been married for 37 years. You really gained a lot of, it looks like your children love you or your grandchildren whatever it is that you've made sacrifices for. Now let's look at how potentially you could sacrifice that, the things you sacrifice for, and end up with nothing. Verse 5 said what? Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Will you set your eyes on something that really has no value? I believe a marriage is very valuable. I believe a relationship with God is very valuable. I believe an experience of salvation and being sanctified and sold out for God's cause is one of the most valuable things that we can sacrifice for. I believe being a father and a mother, of having a home that raises children that can be strong and be capable and have be rooted and grounded in the things of God and be able to think rational thoughts and solve problems and all of that. I believe that is one of the most valuable things that we can do. And it's worth sacrificing for. It's worth giving your time and sacrificing your fishing trips or whatever it is that you think might be enjoyable and sacrificing that for the cause of the family and the cause of the home. I believe it's worth it. But he said here, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I read this passage of Scripture and I find three things primarily that he talks about that is not. One of them is dainties. One of them is riches. And one of them, he said here, was an evil eye. Somebody that maybe has a lot of savvy. Could be business savvy. It could be something there that people admire. Courage. So, you want to be able to have dainties in your life? You're going to probably have to sacrifice something. You're going to have to sacrifice the cornbread and beans. Probably you won't be able to have as much to eat if you just want dainties. I'm talking about natural food. You want to have riches? You're going to sacrifice something. You're going to sacrifice time spent with your family. You're going to sacrifice time spent in the house of God. You're going to sacrifice some things that maybe you've been building up for. And maybe you're enjoying some of the benefits and you think, well, maybe it's not quite as important as I thought it used to be, so I'm going to sacrifice some of it. Did you know that's something that is of naught? It's going to bring you to a place that you're going to look back. We have a song, I believe, that has some words in it like this. Had I only taken the time. Had I only not made the sacrifice of my integrity. Had I only not sacrificed the time with my children. Had I only not sacrificed the time that I should have spent in the house of God. Had I not sacrificed the time and the opportunity that I had to be with my brethren and sisters, whether it's on a work day, a camp meeting, a revival, had I not sacrificed that for something else? Instead, if you do sacrifice all of that, you get something that's like a bag with holes in it. Maybe you are wealthy. Maybe you do have all the dainties that you could eat. Maybe you do have that all-seeing, perceiving perception of what's a good buy and what's not. Maybe you have some skills that no one else even thinks about. But what did you sacrifice? Maybe you can survive. Maybe you can climb a mountain. Maybe you can survive physical contest and all of that. What'd you sacrifice to get there? Notice what it said. He says, Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up. You'll be wishing you hadn't ate that. You ever ate something and wished you hadn't? I did one time. Oh, I did it more than once. But I ate something one time that I really, really wished I hadn't. I'll tell you a little story. Hot summertime. I was pretty young. I don't know, 10, 12 years old. I was working on my bicycle or my lawnmower or something, and I had my hands greasy, and my mama said, come in, we got lunch ready. It was in the summertime. So we had this hand soap called Goop. Some of y'all know what that looks like. White-looking, creamy stuff, and I rolled my sleeves up and washed my hands and arms and lathered it all up and rinsed it off at the faucet and went into the house. My mama had some sandwiches made for us for my brother and I. And I put my arms on the table, took a bite of my sandwich. You know how it is when you put mayonnaise on a ham sandwich, if some of it's going to squeeze out. And when I took my bite of my sandwich, I looked, oh, there's some of my mayonnaise down there on the table. And I took my finger and daubed that mayonnaise up, stuck it in my mouth, but it wasn't mayonnaise. It was Goop. And I'd swallowed that, and that tastes awful. You know, my sandwich didn't taste good either. You know what's going to happen if you sacrifice the things that are really meaningful in life for something that is a dainty, something that is tends to riches? It's going to be something you wish you hadn't ate. You know, if you get down the road and you're worth lots of money, and you get down the road, and you can have all of the, you know, as one successful person says, you can eat so much lobster it tastes like soap. You might know who I'm talking about. You might be able to eat lobster to that level. I don't even like it. I haven't learned to like it yet. I just know it's expensive, and I don't think I want to learn how to like it because of that. But anyway, it says you'll vomit it up. and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Maybe what I'm saying this morning, you won't get the thought. You won't catch the drift. I hope you do. He says, remove not the old landmarks, neither enter into the fields of the fatherless. Don't go away from the path that brings stability to mankind. That's a solid home. That's a relationship with God. The comment was made in Sunday school this morning about no one, don't matter if you're a Hindu, a Muslim, or an atheist, no one can deny the impact that Christ has made on humanity today. Nobody can deny that. It's real. Don't go down a path of the fatherless. Don't remove the old landmarks. What happens to children that's raised without a father? They're left limping all year through their life. They don't get the full scope of what it's like to know how to navigate life. They struggle. There's things that's broken in their hearts and in their minds. Don't go down the path of the fatherless. Don't depart from the old landmarks. He says, for their Redeemer is mighty. God is powerful, folks, and He's able to plead our cause. He's able to help us with the sacrifices that's necessary to gain the strength and the ground that we need to gain. And yes, the enemy wants to come along and offer us dainties and offer us this and that, but his heart's not really with us. Did you read that? Did you catch that up there where I read that? Verse 7, he says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He don't really have our good in his mind and in his attentions. The devil is really not out to help us. I don't know if you know that or not, but the devil's not really here to help us. He's going to trip us up and make us fall. Don't depart from the ancient landmarks. Don't go down the path of the fatherless. Don't go down the path that looks like this is an opportunity for achievement and fulfillment and excitement and all that. You're going to sacrifice something. You're going to sacrifice something. Your children won't rise up and call you blessed. They might call you something else. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction, verse 12, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So I want to close with that. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Think about what we tried to say this morning. I'm all about making sacrifice. You want to have a private conversation with me, I'll tell you some of the things that I've sacrificed. There's been times that I've questioned, seriously questioned, is my sacrifice really been worth it? You know those times. You know those times when it feels like that your sacrifice is not appreciated. Maybe you got up early and made breakfast. Maybe you worked a long time to make the house look good, the yard look nice. Maybe you spent a lot of your effort in being prepared for something and no one seemed to profit from it. And maybe you ask yourself, is my sacrifice worth it or not? Would I have been better off just doing something that gratified me? The point I want us to get this morning is sacrifices for good causes will always pay the dividends that good causes bring. And you sacrifice the good causes for the personal gratification and fulfillment, and you're going to reap things that you don't want to reap. You're going to reap the things in life and in eternity that you wish you could avoid. I don't want you to sacrifice today the ground that you've gained. I know you've all gained some ground over the course of life. Don't sacrifice that for a moment of pleasure. Don't sacrifice it for something that'll end up leaving you holding the bag and wishing you hadn't went down that path. You pray for me.